We're glad you're here tonight. We want to spend the next hour connecting with God, and we got a lot to cover tonight. We are really in the home stretch where we are heading into our anniversary service, which for us is kind of the close of a mission that God has had us on for a year. So we kind of pulled out all the stops for this last 6 weeks, and we're in a six-week series called Stuff You Need to Know. And we thought, right? Last week we learned about the love languages. We're going to mention a little bit about that tonight, give you more help on that, and then head into something new. But I wanted to at least let you know kind of where we're going tonight and say, well, you know, we come to God because God is the one with the answers. God is the one who can show us how to make life work at its fullest. God is the one who can show us how to get out from underneath the crushing burden of sin and the chaos in the world. So the problem we're going to be addressing tonight kind of starts like this. There's a woman named Bonnie. And Bonnie woke up to the sound of her cell phone ringing. She answered her phone to find her daughter's teacher on the phone, and the teacher said, "Hello, Bonnie." He said, "But can we move our parent-teacher conference today? Can we move it up 2 hours? Because something's come up on my end." Well, Bonnie was still kind of bleary-eyed, said, sure, I get it. I'll just try to move some things around in my schedule." And then as Bonnie hung up, she knew that meant things in her schedule that were already kind of set for the day, they were not going to be able to be completed. But she hated to say no to her daughter's teacher. Just then, Bonnie notices her phone is at 1% and about to die. And she thinks, "Where's my phone charger? I knew that I had it plugged in last night." So she calls out to her daughter, Susie, and says, "Hey, Susie, have you seen my phone charger?" And she receives information back from Susie, "Yeah, Mom, I have your phone charger. It's in my room. I was using it for my phone." And she says, "Yeah, but Susie, now my phone is dead, and I got to leave for work." Just then, Bonnie's husband, Jim, comes in and asks, "Hey, Bonnie, did you wash my work shirt?" And Bonnie says, yeah, I washed your shirt. It's in the dryer." And so Jim asks, "Well, is it ironed? And if it's not, could you do that real quick for me?" And Bonnie says, "Yes, I can do that for you." So on her way down to the dryer, Susie and then the daughter informs Bonnie, "Oh, by the way, Mom, Grandma and Grandpa called and left a message, and they're going to be in town today, and they said that they're coming here for dinner at 5 o'clock, and they may be staying for the night, but they're not sure." So Bonnie grabs the shirt out of the dryer and races up to the guest bedroom, only to find where it normally would be made up, the room is a mess, and the bed is a mess. So she asks Susie, "Have you been in the guest bedroom?" No, Mom, I haven't. "Oh, but you know what? My friend Melissa was here last week when you were away, and I let her stay in there, and I guess she never made the bed, never cleaned it up." Bonnie says, "Well, the sheets need to be washed if Grandma and Grandpa are coming. We only got till 5 o'clock. Then her husband yells, "Hey, is my shirt ready? I got to get going." Then Jimmy, Bonnie's son, walks out of his room and reminds his mother, "Don't forget, Mom, we have to provide snacks for my football team after practice today." And with that, Bonnie headed back into her bedroom, back into the master bathroom, closed the door, sat down, and starts to cry. In only 20 minutes, from the time Bonnie woke up, her day is now utter disaster. Sound like anybody you know? We're going to deal with what does God want us to do about those kind of situations. And I hope Bonnie is watching tonight. And I hope maybe she's online somewhere, and we are going to handle that. But before we do, we're going to welcome God into the room and say, "Lord, we need you in on this process. We need you to show us, through your word, how is it that we can handle things that come at us fast and furious, and is there a way to do it that honors God and honors the people around us?" We're going to hand our worship off to our worship leaders, so let me take you in that direction for Miss Kelly. When you came in, hopefully you were handed an outline. Now would be a great time for you to get your outline out as we head into week 2 of Stuff You Need to Know. And you say, well, how'd you come up with that title there, Pastor Drew? Well, because these are things that I learned, and my goodness, I marked them off in my life as things I didn't know that I really needed to know. And they changed the way I moved forward in living my life. You already heard the story of Miss Bonnie, whose life was kind of a wreck there early in the morning getting up, and how she just had chaos heading into her world. So now we're going to kind of try to figure all that out. So I want to say welcome back to this series, week two. Please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, or your iPhones or your pads, and we're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, we are going to bring that up on the side screen when we need it. If you're not with us here last week, let me bring you up to speed. Last week, we began a Bible study where God is enlightening us as to some very, very crucial and practical items that we need to know in our life. And these are rubber to the road type of items, day in, day out issues that we will live as Christians, and here's how we're going to make it work. Here's how we're going to actually apply the truths of the Bible so that we can live life abundantly, not have life kind of jump on our back and drive us into the ground. Last week, we began by uncovering that God has wired each of us up with a prominent love language. And it was crucial that we learn what our love language is, how we communicate love, and how we will receive love, and also to kind of identify the love languages of the people in our lives who we want to love and show love to. So I brought a copy of the book, Love Languages, that I have on the table out there that you can go out there on the way out and you can take a picture of that and then order yourself a copy wherever you want to order, CBD and Amazon, but you'll have that book, Love Languages, to go by. But now we're going to move on to another immensely important Bible enlightenment. You know, earlier you heard the story of a woman whose life was quite frazzled. She's being pulled in a million directions, and she feels compelled to help everyone. But it's obviously she's incapable of doing all the things that are being asked of her. Life seems to have her by the hair and is pulling her wildly out of control. So what does the Bible say about this? Does the Bible give us insight on how we're supposed to do this? Is that the way she's living? Is that how God designed us to live? Is that how we're supposed to run? And if we're not supposed to run like that, then how are we supposed to do this? What does God want me to do? Well, Dr. Henry Cloud points us to Galatians chapter 6. And I want to give full acknowledgement to what Dr. Cloud has done here, because this study is really all his work, and I gleaned the information from him. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. It says, carry each other's burdens. Now, the interpretation there is like to help each other with unexpected problems. You know, when you have a flat tire, when your freezer breaks, unexpected problems. We are to help each other with those kind of burdens. It says, and in this way, you will be fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, if anyone thinks that they are something, when they are not, they deceive themselves. Telling them to stay humble, stay low. Each one should test their own actions. Look at what you're doing, each thing. And then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. And then it says, for each one, each and every one of us, should carry our own load. Now, these verses are really packed. They're packed to the gills with information. And it is information that is crucial to have as a foundation for the way we're supposed to live our lives. What it's saying here, let me give you a little background on what they're expecting us to already know here about carrying our daily load. You see, you and I, each of us, can best be viewed, our lives can best be viewed as a piece of property. We own our own life. We own our own piece of land. This is our property. This is our real estate. This is what we own in our life. And these are the things on your property. Those are the things that you're responsible for. You're responsible for these. These are the things we're going to have to carry. He's saying carry your daily load. On your property is your daily load. I want to go through quite a few of these so you can jot these down as we go. These are things that the Bible is assuming we already know these things, but we want to make sure everybody does know them. So the first thing that's on our property that I want to point out are really my choices. My choices, gang, are something that I own. I'm responsible for my own choices. If I go to a movie and the movie stinks and I feel like I wasted 12 bucks, well, that was my choice. I own that. I agreed to go to the movie. No one else is at fault. I own my choices. And gang, we make a lot of choices, don't we? We make choices about who we will date. We make choices about who we will marry. We make choices about what level of education we will pursue and what level of education we will stop at. We make choices about what behavior I will or will not tolerate coming at me. Each of us have a life property, and our choices fully rest in our estate. The second item that is on our property is our behaviors. If I have a consistent time set aside for God daily, I own that behavior. That's something I've done. I own that. If I have a bad habit, well, I own that too. The responsibility is mine for that. If I tend to gossip, well, it's all on me. I own that behavior. If I spout off and I say things I shouldn't, if I post things that I shouldn't, well, that's all on my property. I own that. The third thing is our attitude. If I walk through my day grumpy, and if I walk through my day and I'm unthankful, that's not somebody else's doing. That's my doing. I own my attitude. And that brings up number four, our feelings. I own and I am the ruler of my sustained feelings. If someone was to tell me, hey, Drew, you're fat. Yeah. Well, I own the power. I own the power to let that be something that depresses me or something that I will not let bring me down. If someone tells me that I'm a horrible person because I'm not feeding the homeless, well, that shame is something that I own. I decide whether I will let that in and own that on my property. Not the other person. They can say what they want. I ultimately own my feelings. The fifth is of my beliefs. I'm responsible for what I believe about myself. I'm responsible for what I believe about others. And I'm responsible for what I believe about the world. I had a friend recently tell me that they were really struggling with this in their life. They're really being challenged about a belief that they have in their life. And the belief was this: I don't think people change. I think if you're horrible, you're just horrible. And I really have very little hope of people changing. He said, the only problem with that being my belief, I believe that, it's making me very jaded. It's making me very cynical. I don't even like me. He said that he's seen so many people who are being offered good things and ways out of trouble, but they won't take it. He said, so instead, they just head for a course of ruin in their lives. And he said, you know what? I wound up believing people don't change. And it's turned me into a horrible person for the way I act. And I told him, you know what? Here's the bottom line. I said, there's your property. You own what you believe. Whatever you've seen, that comes at you, but you own what you ultimately believe. No matter how it came about, you own it, and you're responsible for the damage that it's done to your heart. You have to own that responsibility. You can't blame it on other people who disappointed you. If you do, you'll be miserable all the time. I said, you're responsible for your beliefs. It's on your property. These are some of the things. Are you with me so far, gang? Yeah. All right, we got a few more to go. Number six, we are responsible, each in our own life, for our values. Values like how our children are to treat others, the values we set. Values like the attitudes and behaviors that are acceptable and the attitudes and behaviors that are not acceptable. Values like your stance on marriage. Values like what's the proper way to date, what's right to do, what's wrong to do. you own your values on your own manners. And you own your values on the manners you expect out of your children. You own your own values on how to respect elders. Number seven, we own our own limits. What do we mean by that? Well, we each own, like, how much time I am willing to give someone. I set the limit on how long I will be able to give that person so much time. We set the limit on how you will allow someone to speak to you. You set the limit on that. I watched a couple one time, and they got together, and I watched them fall in love, and they were all smoochy-woochy, you know, for the first while, right? It was all wonderful. Then a year went by, and I'm still seeing the same two people. And I noticed that all of a sudden, the smoochy-woochy talk started turning into a different kind of talk. At first, the fella was a little bit more matter-of-fact with the girl. And then as time went on, I noticed he became more domineering. Eventually, he wound up becoming very overbearing in the relationship with her. And then she asked me. She said, "What's your advice?" And I told her, "Well, guess what? You own your limits. You own how you will allow someone to treat you. We all have a bad day." I said, "But what's your limit on that?" I would say to her, I would recommend setting a biblical limit of, I expect to be spoke. I have the truth spoken to me in love. And I expect kindness to be the attitude that comes at me. I said, but ultimately, you set the limit on what you will get on your property. Another limit we own is how much debt we will allow ourselves to get in. We set that limit. How much debt will you get in when you're buying a house? What's the right mortgage? How much debt, what's the limit you will set for buying a car? Or how about this one? For your children's schooling. What's your limit on that? We own another limit, how long we will let our kids play video games. What's the limit? How many hours will you get each day? The eighth thing we own are our finances. Friends, you own your finances. Whether we like it or not, we need to provide for ourselves, don't we? And that means having an income, and that means living inside that income. In fact, of Jesus' 39 parables, 11 of his 39 parables dealt with finances. Our last one, we own our consequences. We own the consequences for our decisions and our behaviors. Let's just say I go to Outback Steakhouse and I ask the waiter, "So steakhouse, huh? How's your trout?" "Oof, our trout? It's not very good." He goes, "I wouldn't recommend it." "That sounds good. I'll have that. I'll have the trout." Then he goes in the back, he gets a crummy trout. He brings it out to me, and I take one bite and decide, "Ooh, this is terrible. Send this back. I want a steak." He's offering a steak. Who should pay for the steak? Who should pay for the trout? Me. I'm the one who made the choice, and the consequence is that, guess what? You ordered fish at a steakhouse. Don't ever do that. Order the steak. Your consequence is yours. How about this? If you are a crummy employee and you get fired, who owns that consequence? Whose property does it belong on? Your own. If you're not a good friend, all of a sudden your friends start disappearing. And the consequence has to be assigned, and it should be assigned to you. Now, Westbridge, this list that I've given you here, this is not exhaustive. There are still our desires, there are still our time, our thoughts, our talents, and more. But this leads us back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, when it says, everyone should carry their own load. Paul, in Galatians, is informing the Galatian church that each person, every God follower, is to live in a way where they own their property. And if they don't carry their daily load, If they do not, problems are going to arise. Problems will arise when we fail to own our property. Problems will arise when others try to put their responsibilities onto our property. Problems will arise when we try to own somebody else's property. And problems will arise when others fail to own their property. Again, we've just identified 9 gigantic things that every individual needs to own and control in their lives. And as we saw in our story with Bonnie, our property can easily get trampled on, can it? Our property can easily be stampeded if we don't have fences or boundaries securing our property. As we have seen in Galatians 5, God commands that each of us are to carry this daily load well. And boundaries are the only way that we will make that happen well. Well, what do you mean when you say boundaries, Pastor Drew? Well, here's the first boundary that you can use. The first boundary is our words. The most basic boundary-setting word we have is no. On the day Bonnie, remember our story in the beginning, on the day that Bonnie agreed to meet with her daughter's, Susie's teacher, she had agreed to meet with her and she had set the time, and the teacher asked to move the meeting up 2 hours, unfortunately, that was really outside the limits of what Bonnie had on her schedule that day. Now, Bonnie, if she's going to own her schedule and if she's going to enforce her own time limits, she's going to have to make a change here. She's going to have to carry her daily load well by telling that teacher, I can't make that change. What I can do, so the answer is no, I can't move the meeting up 2 hours. What I can do is I'll let you try to reschedule in the future. If the teacher comes back and says, yeah, but I need to get this done today. The school wants me to have it done today. Who owns that responsibility?
The teacher.
Bonnie don't own that. I had to set up. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to tell you how it works. The word boundary is one that we must use well if we are to keep our life focused and to keep our life orderly. We can say, no, I can't stay. I promise to be home at 11. We can set the boundary of saying, no, we can't spend that. That's more than we budgeted. We can set the boundary of saying, no, that's not allowed in this home. We don't do that here. The boundary of words, especially the use of the word no, can protect an awful lot of property that Paul tells us we are supposed to run well. The next boundary, geographical distance. Now, a piece of employment information on my resume that some of you may not know is that years and years ago, I spent 4 years working shift work in a sewage plant. I know, you're impressed, right? 4 years I worked in a sewage plant, round-the-clock shift work in Linden. And if the truth be told, I'll be honest with you, I was actually pretty good at it. I was the only one who went and got licensed by the state and became the only licensed operator they had at the Linden Roselle Sewage Authority. I had a good amount of seniority on people. The only problem with the job was this. I had fallen in with the wrong friends. I had fallen in with the wrong influences. Now, I know that I'm responsible for my behaviors that are going on with those friends. I'm responsible for my choices to be with them. But I needed to find a boundary to protect my property. How do I protect myself? Well, the most effective boundary for me at that time, geographical distance. That meant quit the job, leave that place, go away from those people. That boundary worked amazingly. Was it hard to do? Yeah, it was very hard to do. Was it difficult to keep that thing enforced and not to go back on it? You bet it was. But that boundary forced bad things off of my property And I got the ownership of that part of my life back. The next boundary we can set is time. There are days that I will have multiple meetings, a lot of appointments with people. And the list looks like you really can't get that done in one day. But if I set a boundary of time on each of my appointments, I can get it done. Sometimes I will even go so far as to set an alarm on my phone and make it audible so that the person I'm meeting with will be kind of triggered that, guess what, the meeting has to come to an end. You get a very good feeling when you run your day to its full, but the only way that you can get that happen is to set a time boundary for each event, like Bonnie needs to do with that teacher. I use this one a lot, this idea of a time boundary with students. Students will talk to me and they'll tell me all the homework they have, and it really is a lot. I mean, I get it. Most of them are up way into the night and start early in the morning. So I'll tell them, you need to set a time boundary. I'll tell them, write down everything you've got to do, and then you've got to assign a time to each one of it, how long you'll give each one. That'll put you in the ballpark and allow you to get to each and every one. That'll keep you from getting steamrolled by all that work. If you set a time boundary, you won't have a phone call with a long-winded person that can eat up a lot of your time. You set a time boundary, you can avoid getting caught up in a chore that pulls you away from all the rest of the things you had to do that day. Or you can set a time boundary, it'll keep you from having a visit with someone who it just kind of lingers on, you know, stands in the driveway and never makes it to the street. Next boundary, consequences. On my property, and my wife's property, and my son Caleb's property, we have our responsibility, we have our choice to do this church, to make this church happen. We have had that for 16 years, on Saturday night. Well, we feel called that God wants us to do this. But wouldn't you know, when we have that time set apart on our property, we're responsible to be here at 7 o'clock on every Saturday night. In the 16 years that I have been doing this, I cannot tell you how many times people have planned things for me and my family that go right through the 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock window on Saturday night. So for us, we set a boundary 16 years ago, the boundary of consequence. If you set up an engagement for us that is not Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and not Saturday 23 hours out of the 24, if it's not that, we're probably not going to be attending the meeting you made for us. I have friends who are recovering alcoholics who set up a consequence boundary just like that. They make it clear, if there's alcohol present at an event, they will not attend. They're trying to own that part of their life, and they won't let that influence them. I have seen people set a consequence boundary in relationships. That if a certain detrimental behavior is not stopped, then the relationship will have to be over. Fifth boundary. The boundary of truth. The boundary of truth allows us to dig our heels into emotional and intellectual reality when untruth or doubt is thrown onto our property. Let me give you an example of this. Our value and worth can be attacked when we hear, you'll never be able to change. Or our value and our worth can be attacked when we hear, you're never going to be accepted by anybody after what you've done. Well, the boundary of truth keeps that lie off of our life's property. That boundary of truth is a fence that reminds us that's not true, that's a lie, God will always accept me, there's nothing I could do that God would not forgive me for, and whatever I've done is not the end, there is more. But a boundary of truth keeps that off our property. And a lot of us have let those things through. The truth boundary blocks the life-robbing lies that tell us you'll never amount to anything, that you're not special, you'll never get a decent job. The truth boundary blocks the life-robbing lies that say the world is going to eat up your children. Watch it happen. The truth boundary blocks the life-robbing lies that says God is not going to provide for your needs. You need to finagle and make that happen yourself. The list goes on and on, but the truth boundary keeps those lies out. The last boundary we'll talk about tonight is emotional distance. There will be times in our lives when we have to keep someone off of our property emotionally. I advise some people who have ended a relationship that they need to disconnect completely from that other person. You need to set up an emotional distance boundary. They'll come back to me, they'll say, oh yeah, you know, we ended our bad relationship, Pastor Drew, but we're both hurting. So we call each other every day. We text constantly, and we talk to each other every evening before you go to bed. And I tell them, you are looking to end a bad relationship, right? Yeah, yeah. And I tell them, well, if you really want to end it and move on and heal up, then you need to set an emotional boundary. And that means you need to stay 100% off that person's property. I tell them, your healing will be in direct proportion to the emotional and geographical distance that you keep. If you only half break contact, you will only half heal. How long the emotional boundary needs to be in place, well, that's going to be determined in the future. But for now, it's the way to owning your heart. Okay, we have looked at 6 boundaries, and as you see, it's going to take some determination, and it's going to take some stick-to-itiveness to set these boundaries and enforce them. Gang, that is why we have Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, where God commands us, each person must carry their daily load. We must own our life. And owning our life is not for the weak-willed, and it's not for the underpowered. Instead, it's for those who are seeking God's will. It's for those who run in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Back to our story of Bonnie and her chaotic morning. Let's take this to Bonnie's life. Let's see if we can use any boundaries to help her take control of her life. We talked a little about it before, but let's cover it again. Bonnie is blindsided by a teacher wanting to move their meeting up by 2 hours. Now, Bonnie can set a boundary of saying, no, I can't be there, but I'm willing to meet with you next week. And the teacher's reply of, I can't because it's got to be done today, is something that Bonnie needs to let off her plate. That's not on her property. Let it go and let the teacher do it. I can meet with you today, as I promised, but I can't change other things to make that happen. Second thing, Bonnie's phone charger. This is an interesting one. Bonnie's phone went dead because her daughter took Bonnie's charger out of her room and put it in her room, and Bonnie's phone went dead. I would say, Bonnie, if I were you, I would set a geographical boundary. That phone charger is going to live geographically at my nightstand. You can use it all you want as long as your phone is plugged in right there. But as for geography, that's where that phone charger is going to stay. Bonnie's husband needs his shirt ironed. Well, Bonnie can set another boundary, a time boundary, of saying, you know what, honey, I have 2 jobs here. You need that shirt ironed, and Jimmy needs those football snacks. I only have time to do one of them. I can do one, and you got to do the other. Take your pick. The fourth thing. Grandparents coming over for dinner. Bonnie can set a consequence boundary on this one. She says, since I didn't know you were coming, she can ask the grandparents, how about this? When you come over, why don't you show up with a bucket of chicken? And if they're closed or you don't want chicken, we got a pizza parlor right down the street. You can show up with two pies. I like sausage and pepperoni on mine. I didn't know that you weren't coming. Finally, the guest bedroom. Remember how we looked in there and it was a mess? Sheets were all over the place, need to be changed now, and need to be straightened up. This looks like a good time for a consequence boundary for the daughter, doesn't it? She let her friend stay in there, right? Well, that's okay, but guess what? Whatever you gotta do to make it happen, you need to get to that room, you need to straighten it up, wash those sheets, put them back on the bed, and make sure it's right in time for Mama and Papa. That would work. Bonnie wouldn't be sitting in the bathroom crying now, would she? She'd be strutting her stuff. I might have a little extra time. Let me ask you a question. Is Bonnie being mean? Is she being mean doing that? Is she being nasty? Is she being unbiblical, un-Jesus-like? I don't think so. Not when Paul is telling us we need to carry our daily load and carry it well. If Bonnie sets these boundaries, she's not being mean. She's not being uncaring. She's owning her property, and she's enforcing boundaries so others don't trample her property, which God says she is supposed to own well. Gang, we said it before. Problems are going to arise when we fail to own our property. Problems are going to arise when others try to put their responsibilities onto our property. Problems are going to arise when we try to own other people's property, and problems will arise when others fail to own their own property. The theology and the theory behind Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 is quite easy. I am responsible to own these things in my life, and that will require me to set boundaries. That will help me maintain my property the way God wants me to. Now, Westbridge, we did a very, very quick overview of this tonight. In actuality, everything we talked about really needs to be explored extensively. Sometimes with the help of a godly friend, certainly through times of prayer with God. But let me offer you three truths on this just before we leave to help you get a handle on where this is going. Number one, you get what you tolerate. That is something I would ask you to commit to memory. You get what you tolerate. If you tolerate being walked on, you will get walked on. If you tolerate being disrespected, you will get disrespected. If you tolerate snippy talk, you're going to get snippy talk. And if you tolerate being taken advantage of, you will be taken advantage of. Boundaries, calmly and spiritually, says, well, I'm not going to tolerate that. Number two, of not to forget truths. God gives us an obligation to carry our daily load. This is a command from God. God tells us our lives are to be lived as examples, that you and I are to have lives that are shining beacons that should stay on a hillside, that when people see our life, they say, man, that's what I gotta have. The way Bonnie's life was going when we started isn't gonna do that. But the way Bonnie's life would run with proper boundaries is something that would supernova in a world that's being tossed about. Lastly, you will be challenged by others not liking you owning your life and establishing boundaries. That will happen. Our lives are inundated with boundary breakers. People who want to get onto your property and will try to get you to own things on their property. Here's the deal, Westbridge. You can't change others. You cannot change others. Forget that. Get that out of your mind. But you are commanded by God to change yourself. When you establish boundaries, and this is the real magic of this, when you establish boundaries, the results and the changes in your life will be instantaneous. You do not have to wait long for results to happen when you establish boundaries. But do not expect change to happen in a boundary breaker. Do not think they are going to fall in line with everything we're talking about here from Galatians chapter 6. They will have to have their own night where they go to a little church and some pastor puts up a property and then they can learn it. You can explain it to them, but really, the Galatians chapter 6 verse 5 says, we are to carry our daily load. And that's what this is about. There's so much more to talk about with this, but that's probably going to have to wait for another day. Or maybe it'll wait for a cup of coffee with a friend that you can say, I'm having a boundaries issue, and I need to just clarify. Can you help me with it? My son, and then go through it. Or you know what? My parent, and then tell them. And get some feedback from them. Maybe over a cup of coffee. Maybe in your prayer closet with God. Where you say, God, I wanna do the right thing here. I think I need to set a boundary because I believe it's super healthy for me, but it also is probably the best way to get that person to own their property as well. And you work through that. I'm going to ask the band to come back as we finish up our night, giving you time to kind of process and say, you know what, I haven't heard anything like this before. I thought you kind of had to be a Christian doormat. I thought you just kind of had to lay down and let people do whatever they want to you. I don't see that happening in the Bible. Instead, I see Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Each person should carry their daily load. Carry it well. Would you stand and worship with us? Lord, I want to thank you for giving us this time tonight to come and open our Bibles and see what you said. And now, Lord, we count on your Spirit to be the power to do the things you call us to do. Help us to be people who are living life to the full, but finding that living life to the full takes effort. Effort through the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray for each and every one who is suffering tonight down in the Carolinas. I pray that you would show us how we can be a light to them, even if they're finding somehow to get to their phone, make it work, and get online tonight and just learn a little bit about you and a little bit about how to make life work. Lord, I pray that you continue to lead us forward. Let this be a church body that is striving to live life to the full. Help us to not be afraid to live the way you've called us to live, but to know that we are confident following our God. Now, Lord, keep your hand upon us as we leave this place. And Lord, if there are anybody who needs prayer, who needs help, who needs understanding on this subject matter, bring them forward, have them talk to myself, the prayer team, and let them know that they're not alone. We have the body of Christ to help us through it all. And we have God's Spirit inside to power us and to guide us. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen.